when is this red light going to turn green so we can move and get going? And my mom's comments were, it's a patience tester. And so just use that time to work on your patience. It was impressed on me that patience must be a good thing. You know, it's something that obviously I'm missing, and I need more patience. So patience tester was something that was impressed on me very early. As I grew up and went through school years, elementary to middle school to high school, there's a lot going on when you're a student and involved in different activities, and it just seemed like there was one deadline after another between school assignments and extracurricular activities. Just got to be a pressing thing that I was tired, and I was waiting for that senior year when we can walk through the graduation ceremony and say, I'm done. And I couldn't wait to get done with my high school years. So it was hard just to wait and be patient for the school years to end. So got through that and realized that's kind of just the beginning of the next step of life. And so school continued. I did more of that. And so I continued to wait. Now, when is schooling ever going to end? And to this day, I can't say you ever stop learning. I mean, many of us are still learning and progressing through that part of life. For others, we've had maybe the expectation of a relationship. We've had job opportunities that we're hoping are out there, but we're just not seeing, when is that job going to come to fruition, that dream job? Or when am I going to be done with school, and when am I going to meet a person to spend my life with? So patience and waiting, unfortunately, it's a lot of what we have to deal with. In Psalms, there's a few verses I just want to share, and if you want to flip the slide, Ed. All right, if you have your Bible, you can turn to these pages. Chapter 27, verse 14, it says, wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. So just talking about it, it's not easy. It talks about being courageous. So it takes a bit of courage to wait. And that obviously is something that some of us, we sometimes have a hard time with. So we need God's help with that. Psalm 37. Actually, I might skip that one. Let's flip to Isaiah 40, verse 31. 40:31 is a common verse many of us had committed to memory. It says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run, not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. So God promises, in some versions it says, those who wait in the Lord instead of those who trust in the Lord. But he promises to empower us, to give us strength to run the race that he's set before us, to give us strength to not falter. So that's an encouraging verse. And lastly, Lamentations, the book of tears. I don't know if you've heard that the word lament means to cry. So there's a lot of sorrow in Lamentations, but there's also some encouragement in Lamentations. This is chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Those verses say, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him, so it's good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. So as we're waiting, we're also supposed to be searching and seeking. And so that's kind of the question and the encouragement to you. What do we do as we're waiting? We're supposed to be seeking God's will and searching for his direction in our life. So a key to dealing with things like what they're dealing with and what we have to deal with on a daily basis is just abiding with our Lord. And there's a Spanish word that comes, it's tied to our word abide. I'm sure someone can help me with Spanish. Actually, Sam, you can maybe pronounce this for me. Permanature, is it? All right, thank you. Whatever he said, that's it. Which we have a missionary with us, Sam, right here, so you can talk to him afterwards. This word implies a sense of permanence. So it's not a temporary existence. It is that we are permanently linked to the great God that we serve. So it's not something that's off and on. It's a daily, hourly, and a minute-by-minute existence. So it's permanent. The thought that came to mind is God is always God, but we are human and we are not God. So when we feel close to God and not close to God, God hasn't moved away. God is still there, but a lot of times in our relationship with him, we're the ones who are falling away or moving in a different direction. Let's move to John chapter 15. This is kind of going to be the key verse that we're going to talk about in John 15, verses 4 through 8. It talks about being connected to the true vine, which gives us our sense of nourishment and encouragement. So in John chapter 15, 4 through 8, I'm going to read those verses. It says, "Remain in me," or some versions say, "abide in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch, withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." So it's appropriate in this part of the state and in the United States and even Iowa, it's a very agricultural area. And that's kind of the type of discussion that this is. This is a vine, and a vine, obviously, any plant that's growing has to be connected to a root system in order to be productive. Well, for us, that root system is our Lord, and for us to be fruitful, we need to have some nourishment. Going back through the Bible a little bit, we want to talk about just where we've come as a Christian people. In the Old Testament, there is often a sense of God is over there, God's up there, and we have to do something to get to God. So it wasn't the relationship that we enjoy now because Christ has come and died for our sins. But in the Old Testament, there was a sense of we have to perform a sacrifice or a ritual or do something to have a close relationship with God. So it was always something that it was performance-based. We had to do our service in order to have a relationship or a better relationship with God. Thankfully, God made a way for us that brought down that barrier or brought down that requirement that his son Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. So when Christ came, Christ went to the cross for our sins, and that broke down that barrier. So there wasn't sacrifices that we continue to have to butcher a calf, a goat, a rabbit, whatever animal that had blood in it, that had to be shed for the sins that people committed. Christ, by his blood, he was the ultimate sacrifice. And so now we can enjoy more of a sense of abiding without performing. But for many of us, we're still stuck in that performance space. And that's the part, I guess, I want to hopefully encourage you to realize that it's not what we do, but it's what's been done for us. A couple statements, and I'm not sure if we have these two statements. Yes, they are here. Okay. Two statements, which I want to give a shout out to Brenda in the office. Brenda really makes me look better than I actually am. So doing these slides is really wonderful and helps kind of keep me on track too. So thank you, Brenda. Let's see. So two statements. Follow me. These were both stated by Christ in his ministry. When Christ was on earth, his encouragement to those he was teaching and leading, his disciples, the apostles, the crowds that followed him, he said exactly that. He said, "Follow me." Okay, so he wanted people to mirror what he was doing, to act like him, live the kind of life that he was trying to show people. So as Christ lived on earth, it was "follow me." As he got ready to leave, and that's where John chapter 15, these verses come from, he's getting ready to leave his disciples and go into heaven and he's going to be crucified, and then his spirit will stay with us. He said, "Abide in me." So as he was on earth, it was "follow me." As he left this earth, now his instruction to us is to abide in me. So the question is, and you might be wondering, what does this house have to do with abiding? It's kind of like a mansion. So the relationship with God is kind of like if we were invited over to Sunday dinner into this house. This house is probably going to be a pretty amazing house. To me, I don't know if you call that a mansion, but it's a little bigger than most of the houses we live in. As we go into that house, it's going to have a beautiful foyer. It's going to have a really nice entryway that we're going to, step inside that front door. Notice, wow, there's some beautiful woodwork. There is a beautiful staircase. I bet the kitchen has all stainless steel appliances, latest state-of-the-art stuff. And we'd be foolish, or I'd be foolish, if I just stood in the entryway. Just stood in the entryway and said, wow, I'm sure this house is neat, but I'm out of here. I'm going back home. Now, a smart person would say, hey, can I check out your house? You know, can I see the rest of this house and enjoy the kitchen? Can I enjoy the entertainment area? Can I watch a movie in your man cave, so to speak? Can I go to the backyard where there's probably a pool and gardens and everything else in the backyard? You're going to want to explore everything and enjoy everything that this mansion has to offer. Well, it's the same thing with a relationship with God. If you claim to be a Christian, then we've had the front door experience. Okay, we've accepted what Christ has to offer us through forgiveness of sins and peace with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we've had that opportunity. We've possibly, hopefully, accepted that. If you haven't, then we can talk about that another time. But we're in the front door. And I guess at that point, I'd encourage you, we want to continue through the front door to experience all that God has to offer by exploring the rest of his mansion, so to speak. Matthew 11, 28 talks about a yoke that he offers. So if you have your Bible, I want to turn to chapter 11. These are some verses that most of us have heard before. Verses 28 and 29. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who worry or who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So these are some familiar verses that a lot of us have heard about a yoke. And today in Hampton, I don't see too many people carrying yokes around town. But back in Jesus' day, yokes were common things to help carry pails of water. They used them in agriculture with livestock to help cows plow a field. And just it was a tool that made life easier and allowed you to do things you couldn't do by yourself. I think for myself and many of us, we maybe hear that word yoke and we think, man, that's hard. I mean, that sounds heavy. It sounds like work. And I guess the way we should think about it is that it's not making our life more difficult, but the yoke that Christ offers is a restful existence. It's a help in our life that is going to make things easier. So God's yoke is not a burden. God's yoke is a help in the struggles that we experience. So a lot of times I think the yoke, the problem with us carrying a yoke is often we resist. We think the way that we can live or that our ideas are better than what God might have for us. And so we might resist this yoke that he offers, which is supposed to help and be a helpful thing. Often the world has a different message than what God's message is. So messages that we're hearing through media, through the news, through Facebook, of all things, those messages are very different than what God's word says. And so I think that the danger is that our hearts are easily swayed, and we're not born with the idea of God's ways are always perfect. Our human nature says the world has a better answer. Often our mind tells us that we think we have a better way, and so we're living in ways that are often contrary to what God wants us to do. So just picture the idea of the yoke, that the yoke is a help in our life. The yoke is going to make our life easier. For myself, I guess I'll give you a little background. My conversion experience was actually, as these camp counselors shared, for me, it was at a camp. Camps are powerful experiences for many youth, and for myself, that's what happened. At 14 years old, I was able to go to a sports Christian camp. At that camp, heard about what it meant to have a relationship with Christ. And that week-long camp was an awesome experience. One of those experiences that maybe some of you have had if you've gone to a conference or a camp experience or even a Sunday morning, possibly when someone besides myself is preaching, like Dave, that there's those God moments that are really special. And so what happens, I guess? What happens from when we go to those mountaintop experiences to then back to the everyday life? What's the difference? And as I think about abiding, I think in that camp experience for me, I was surrounded by other teenagers who generally had the same life view on who God was, who Jesus was, and what he'd done for us. So we're in a, in a bubble, so to speak, to talk about the COVID experience here, that we're in a bubble of Christians. That was a very healthy, very encouraging time where we loved one another, we served one another, and we cared for each other. And it was definitely a high level of abiding. We were surrounded by Christian, teachings, Christian talk, and Christian way of life. And getting out of that experience and going back to my home in Des Moines, it was a different experience. For about a week, I felt a very close situation or close existence with God as my Savior. But then it was back to school. It was back to sports practices and some coaches who I felt cared about me and some coaches who I don't think even knew my name. And school that you have all the experiences of a teenager in the school environment. So it was tough. And so going back to what I said about before, and that did God leave me? I mean, I didn't feel as close to God. I don't think God left me, but I obviously changed the pattern of my living and how I was living on a day-to-day basis from the camp experience. So it was my doing or my lack of doing. So our encouragement this morning is that we seek that sense of abiding, not just at a camp, 1 week a year, but that it's a daily, regular abiding with him. Comment would be there's pieces of our life that we sometimes are protective about, and myself, I got sin issues, I got things I struggle with, and I'm not perfect. And so sometimes those areas in my life, there's not the full surrender that there needs to be. I think some of us, we're selfish in ways, and we can say, you can have this part of my life, but this little thing that I really enjoy doing, you're not getting that. And so you continue maybe a pattern of sin in a certain area of life. To have a really healthy and a full abiding experience, it's got to be everything. Will we ever get there? I guess that's the question too. I mean, we're all sinners. We live in a fallen world where there's temptations and there's problems on a daily basis. So will we ever get there? But my goal is a continued growth in this abiding sense. Even through this study this summer, it's been encouraging for me. I feel I'm doing a better job at this point in my life than I have really ever, probably, and just that it's a regular communion with the Lord that I try and do on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. But it hasn't always been that way. It's been a lot of work and takes a lot of focus, I guess, that way. Failures. We're going to continue to make mistakes. We're going to continue to fail. And for a lot of us, I think our failures often bring us away from God instead of, what I'd want to mention would be our failures should drive us back to God. Okay, it should be a point where we're not going to say, okay, I messed up again. I'm, rotten, no good, scoundrel, whatever you want to say, and that we're falling farther and farther away from God. No, when we mess up, my focus for me is to examine, why am I doing this? And why do I continue to fall short in this area and to acknowledge that I'm messed up and say I need help and I need a Savior to correct me and say that, hey, I'm here with you. I've forgiven your sins and we can still have this communion and this relationship together. So instead of having failures drive you away, hopefully your failures can say, come back to me. Come back to me who he's there with open arms saying, I still love you. I still forgive you. And that's going to be the way it is forever. And so I guess just have that in mind that we are going to mess up. I continue to fall short and sin and do things that he's not pleased with. Last comment, I guess, or not last, but on this area, talk about just the time factor. We're in a microwave society, and I think Amazon has only furthered that idea that everybody expects the package they order this afternoon to be here tomorrow. And it's not always happening that way, especially with everybody expecting their package to be there tomorrow. Sometimes there's delays in how life happens. And the Christian life is no different. It is not a quick that, hey, we're right up there with Moses, you know, in tomorrow. It's a process. The phrase I'll share would be the cheeseburger versus T-bone steak dilemma. So we can leave this gathering this morning and go half a mile down the street, a mile down the street, order the $6.99 or $7.99, whatever the two cheeseburger meal deal is at McDonald's here shortly. And within 5 minutes, have that cheeseburger meal deal in hand, and most of us in about 5 minutes, it'd be gone. Okay, the cheeseburger is a quick, the hamburgers are getting smaller as we speak, and so they don't take long to devour. But a T-bone steak is a different story. A T-bone steak is something that if I have a T-bone steak and put that on the grill, invite friends over to enjoy that with me, I hope it's not going to be a five-minute existence that all of a sudden you're going to put that steak in your mouth and it's going to be gone. I would expect that you'd kind of savor the juices, the spices, the grilled flavor. You're going to enjoy that that T-bone steak, which you're jumping ahead a little bit. That's okay. You can stay there. But yeah, a T-bone steak is similar to what I hope we experience with the Christian life, that it's not going to be a quick process where we're already, you know, perfect and we're abiding on a regular basis. It's something that takes time and it takes effort. So it's a T-bone experience that you need to, you know, meditate on things. You need to pray about it. We need to spend time in God's word and with him to examine our own heart and examine where we should be. So think about that next time you order the $6.99 cheeseburger meal deal at McDonald's. Not worth it. It really isn't. All right. Finally, there's a verse in Philippians, and that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And Paul wrote a letter to Philippians, and in this verse, he kind of talks about we can abide and realize who God is and what he's done for us, but we're also commanded to do. And that was something I kind of struggled with, is how do we take this sense of abiding and not just be a couch potato and say, thank you, God. Thank you for filling me with your spirit. Thank you for all you've done for me, and say it's good. Well, this verse in Philippians, Paul recognized what he had been given, and it spurred him on. So I will read verse 12, chapter 3. It says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. That's the last half of that verse is what I think is really good. It says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So Paul, basically he realized that Jesus had done something pretty significant for him. I mean, he had sacrificed his life for us, for anything that we would do in the future. And that served as motivation for him to press on. Those words, press on, they are encouraging to me in that it's not just a static existence. I mean, it is something that you are moving forward towards something. It's easy to think of basketball and the full court press situation. When there's a press, there is action. There's things happening in a basketball game. Same idea with this, that Christ did something, and this verse is a reminder that we didn't do anything. It says, Christ Jesus first possessed me. So again, in the Old Testament, there was the sacrifices, the things we had to do or that people had to do to have a relationship with God. Today, we don't do anything. It's been done with us. We just accept what he did. And by God's grace, you know, I've been saved, and I'm thankful for that, that I was shared with the hope of Jesus at a young age, and it's changed my life. And so that's really where I'm at, that I realize this great gift I've been given, and it's not just for me, but it's for me to encourage others in the same way of life, because it's the greatest message there is in this world. And so with Paul, I would agree that I'm motivated to press on. And so as we get into this fall season in the church, you know, Brenda and Ashley last week, she announced that, you know, and this church is active. We hope there's people willing to serve and do things and lead the next generation in different steps of their faith. And so that's where I live, and that it's a great gift that's been given to me. And for me just to sit and abide and do nothing, that's not going to be the situation I'm living in. I'm going to press on, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to hope that others have the same experience that I have, because that's where my motivation is. So it is. It's abiding is a restful situation. You know, it's where we can enjoy the mansion that God has for us, but it's also an action that once we realize what all we have through God's Son, that we should be motivated to press on. So that's, I think that's about the last part I have. There is a final closing thought here that it's not about striving. So again, we can work, and it's not going to do too much, but we should rest in who God is and what he's done for us through his Son Jesus. And so it's a peaceful existence. It can be a wonderful existence, but it takes time, and there is a part of studying that we're responsible for and responding to what God has said to us. So I want to encourage you just to abide, not to just strive and think it's all dependent on us. So that is all I got. I'll close in prayer, and then we have a closing song or two. So just close your eyes and let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words, and just thank you for the message you've had for us this morning. Thank you for your gift of your presence, your spirit that you left with us as you left this earth. Your spirit continues to convict us and teach us and grow us, and we're all at different places, but we trust the process. We trust you and trust your leading. Thank you for these young people who served in camps. Thank you for Blake and Claire and even Sam who are serving you in faraway countries. Protect them, continue to use them. Thank you for their willingness and their heart that is willing to serve you and teach others about your great love. Thank you for this time and be with us this week. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.